So the last speaker is actually Iman Mezian, but I'm here on her behalf. Iman is leading this study in Casablanca, along with her advisor, Dr. Benadir. She was intending to be here today, but actually was invited to another very prestigious meeting in the EU to present similar results. So what we've done is form a international team of individuals to participate in the assessment of breast cancer risk in Morocco. And Morocco is in the northwest corner of Africa. It's in this estimated breast cancer incidence worldwide map from 2008. It's in about the lower end of incidences of breast cancer, but the demographics of Morocco and the ethnic makeup makes it a quite interesting study. And what's quite alarming to the Moroccans is that the incidences of breast cancer since about 1990 have gone up about twofold, and they continue to rise. And they haven't sorted out exactly why this is happening, but if you go back to that map, you see the high incidence rates are in the well-developed countries, and Morocco is developing quite rapidly. And so one can imagine that the environmental impact is becoming perhaps one of the primary factors to increase the incidences. In terms of number, it's breast cancer is a dramatic impact on Moroccan healthcare. About 35% of all women's cancers are breast cancer now, and that's increasing again quite dramatically. You can see the diagnosis is quite late. About 60% of them are in stage 3 and stage 4, and that's quite alarming as well. So a number of individuals, I happen to have been born in Morocco, so I met some Moroccans in some scientific meetings, and they invited me to go there, and I got very interested in working with them. And they already have a very strong cadre of cancer specialists and public health advocates who have been working for literally decades. But more recently, a foundation put together by Lala Salma, the Queen of Morocco, who's dedicated quite a bit of energy and effort as well as funds to initiate breast cancer studies, has sort of catalyzed a large set of initiatives. And we've participated in one of those, and that's in the group focused around Casablanca, where it's a large cohort, both in terms of the entire population of Morocco, as well as in females, as well as in breast cancer cases. And 2 years ago, the Cancer Center Lala Sama was opened. It's a beautiful new facility, and the work that we're pushing forward on is based at that facility. So we're doing a fair amount of translation. We don't want to do studies from scratch in Morocco. The cost is too high, and so rather than do what is traditionally done, let's say a complete de novo development of breast cancer risk algorithms for the specific population of Morocco, we instead are adapting an approach that I've worked on for a few years, which is to create synthetic populations of certain individuals, in this case in the Moroccan female population, and then to test the demographics and risk factors of that population against many of the algorithms for predicting risk, in this case breast cancer risk, and try to determine which of the breast cancer risks, or do a retrospective validation of which of the breast cancer risk algorithms is best, either for the entire population or for segments of that population. So we created this pedigree a couple of years ago. It's actually expanded since. I don't bother updating the slide. Each one of these algorithms is a breast cancer risk algorithm, mostly relative risk, sometimes carrier risk. And I think it's always a shock to me when we first did this about how many there were and the plethora of factors and slight modifications that have developed over the years. It's quite daunting for any hospital system or a place like Morocco who wants to decide, well, which algorithm should we use? To possibly decide which is best. You could say the Gale model, because that's been around a lot, family history tool. Sorry, I can never remember the name of it, but the Surgeon General tool that several people are using uses the Gale model and the Klaus model. And in order to predict, well, the Gale-07 model, too, might be embedded in that. But many of you who have used those family history tools, and some of them do embed risk analysis or risk prediction in them, it might be useful to you to look at some of the details and disclaimers of those risks. So what we've identified is six or so models that are algorithms that we want to use in our study. And from those, now going hand in hand in terms of developing the data, we actually sort of did a retro analysis, and we selected the models which we think have the best foundation for possibly most accurately predicting Moroccan breast cancer risk. And then what you do is look at those models and say, well, which variables or risk factors are used in those models? And this is, I'm sorry, I can't read it, but and the upper columns are all of the risk factors that appear in each of the models. So if there's an X, it means that, for example, the Gale model uses age as a risk factor and so on and so forth. What we try to do is find a compendium of those, again, not just for simplicity, but in order to decide which survey or how should we construct the survey. We want to make sure we capture all of those risk factors so we can test these algorithms. So there's a three-stage study being conducted. First is a lot of preparation that's been done, including digestion of those algorithms to decide what the survey should be. We're in the midst of conducting the survey and also extracting data retrospectively out of electronic medical records, or out of medical records, not electronic ones. And then finally, probably in the next year or so, we'll be ready to start testing those algorithms and doing retrospective validation to determine which ones are likely the best for the Moroccan. They've done a very thorough review of how to conduct their study, and it's just tremendous how they put this together and all of the different factors that they've incorporated. I won't go through all the details. But what they have also done is most of the records are in paper right now, and so Iman has gone back over 4 years now, actually five I think she's up to now, and I don't know where the number was. She was up to about 1,600 digitized records from these paper records. I think she's pushing for 2,000. They have very detailed records, but they're paper-based, and every morning they're distributed to throughout this is at the Cancer Center La La Salma. They're distributed, and then every evening they're pulled back, and Iman goes in sort of overnight and then digitizes the data. So she's given us a fantastic baseline. And then we've built with her a REDCap survey environment to try to move from having to do the paper-based translation to online surveys. And she'll be initiating those. There's a lot of education and training. We have to translate into several languages and do a validation yet on the survey. But we're primarily using the survey tools that have already been used and just trying to translate them to the Moroccan environment. Finally, I'll just quickly say how we're approaching the validation of the algorithms. What we do is create a Bayesian model of the population. And with that Bayesian model, we can sort of instantiate populations, not the actual populations, but populations that have exactly the same characteristics of, in this case, is the Casablanca breast cancer community or population of patients. And then we can run in silico simulations about the risk prediction of those and look at the representation of those risk predictions against those populations. And there's a way to statistically test whether those representations are accurate or not. I don't want to go through those details. But it's a way to attempt to use data that's already been collected, but for which you're not going to do a de novo risk prediction algorithm, and you're testing and retrospectively validating the models that already exist. So it's a three-step process. We create this population using this Bayesian network model, and then go online and can use the, I don't know how to turn off my own. Timer. Go online and we can use the risk assessment tool, which is at cancer.gov, to do testing, but we want to do it in-house because we have a number of algorithms. So we actually have coded that up, but in effect what we're attempting to do is determine which type of individuals fall into which risk categories, and then again to align the algorithms to those risk categories. On the predicted risk, using these clinical avatars, we call them, you'll see a distribution, and then the validation comes when you go to the electronic medical records and test them directly, and you have outcomes of those individuals, so you can determine whether those risk predictions were accurate, or to what degree they were accurate, sensitivity and specificity. We're putting an online system together so that people can test these on their own and run their own populations simulations. We have one for some pharmacogenetics studies we've conducted and done some, had very good validation of. And now my own interest is in breast cancer, so we're moving the whole modeling and system environment to breast cancer. It's, again, a three-step process. I won't go through the details. But in conclusion, I want to say that, you know, we feel like we found a model. A lot of people talk about translation. Well, we're trying to translate the technologies that people have developed here, like Howard University and other places, and project those into, in this case, Moroccan environment to accelerate the studies there rather than trying to create everything from scratch. And that's been quite successful, and it's very rewarding. Hope to come back in a year or so and have some results to demonstrate which of those algorithms seem to be most effective in that population.